Good afternoon, everybody. Evening? I don't know. To me, it's actually 9 o'clock, so I'm... It's bedtime. Why are you here? All right. Now, open your Bible up to Psalm 19 to start with. Have a look at Psalm 19. I'm not quite sure how your Bible study runs things, so you're just going to have to go with me on this one. Psalm 19. Probably, it's a good psalm. It's a really good psalm. It's a gift that I want to give to you. It's Psalm 19. And if that's not enough, you can have Psalm 119, because that's even bigger. But if you took Psalm 119 and boiled it down and condensed it, you'd end up with Psalm 19. Anyway, so if you wanted a shortcut, just read 19. And it's pretty interesting anyway. So we're going to look at, just thinking a couple of points here, the sufficiency of Scripture and creation. So let's just read through here, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I like looking at creation and things like this. If you look at, you know, Romans 1:20 tells us that... Oh, let's just look at that one. Just turn quickly to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. We've got creation points to God. Creation points to God. It tells us that man is without an excuse. The creation points to God. It condemns people because they're without excuse. Look what it says here, Romans 1:20. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse." You get asked questions. In New Guinea, I got asked questions by the kids, and they asked things, you know, what about all our grandparents who, like, never had missionaries come, and they never got to hear the gospel, and like, what happens? Did they go to heaven, or did they all go to hell? You know, and you get asked these questions, and you just kind of, like, look at these verses, and you go, well, you know what? I'm really sorry, but I have to say that they perished. You know, they're steeped in their witchcraft and they're deceived by the devil and all of these things. And creation itself points to God. And just look here, go back to Psalm 19. Just thinking about a few things here that are really interesting. I don't know if you think this is interesting. If not, then well, I'm sorry for boring you. But these passages here that talk about the sun and the earth and all of these things, I thought that everything revolved around the earth and the earth was the centre of the universe. No, I didn't really. That's just what people used to think. But discovering this and studying this out, and you see pictures. Have you ever looked at a solar system map? Did you know that if you scaled a solar system map to Earth being the size of a marble, if you scale the solar system down to that, the sun will be a metre and a half in diameter. And your marble would be about 120 metres away from the sun. And not Pluto. Pluto's not a planet anymore. No, Pluto. We'll just say it is Pluto anyway. It depends when you went to school. Did you know Pluto's not a planet anymore?
It's still under debate.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy, right? That would be more than 5 kilometres away from our scale model of the sun. That's crazy when you think about the sizes. And then I was studying this, and the sun, and this is really interesting. I love things that move, right? And things go fast. I like going fast, motorbikes and cars and roller coasters and things like this. But the sun is actually moving. And I didn't know this until not that long ago, so I think this is real good. If you already know this, I'm sorry if you're a real scientist, but the sun is like ripping through space at like 720,000 kilometres an hour. Did you know that? I didn't know that until just recently. A couple of years ago I was studying this. The sun rotates.
Yes.
The sun rotates, and it takes however many days to the sun to rotate. But the sun is ripping through space like this at 720,000 kilometres an hour. That's crazy fast. Like, you don't even know that. And then the Earth, the whole solar system is being pulled through space by the sun. So, you know this picture of the sun where it's like the sun here and we got the little planets and it's going... It's not like that at all. We are actually like doing a massive corkscrew all the way through space like this. We're still going around the sun in our orbit, going 720,000 kilometres an hour. I've got it written down here. The Earth is travelling... 107,000 kilometres an hour on its orbit around the sun. Like, things are moving, aren't they? That's mega speeds, mega distances, mega sizes. And while the sun, the Earth, is orbiting, it's got a little, you know, day, night, 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 day, night. That's crazy, right? And at the equator, the Earth is rotating at about 1,600 kilometres an hour. You can work that one out easy if you don't believe me, because the circumference is like 40,000 kilometres and it takes a day, 24 hours to get around. So at the equator, when we're in New Guinea, we're nearly travelling at about 1,600 kilometres an hour. The Earth is rotating that. That's pretty crazy. And you know what? You can put a glass of water on it and it won't even spill. Now, I don't even reckon you could move your car without put a coffee on the roof of your car. I thought 60 was fast. Like, that's crazy, isn't it? This is what this is talking about. You think about what David is writing about. This is a Psalm of David, and they didn't know all of this science stuff. But this is what God has got going on in creation. When God created everything, it was something else. And the sun, it's on its little orbit around the Milky Way galaxy, which is huge, right, because we're in the Milky Way, and they estimate that the sun would take about 230 million years to do its orbit around the Milky Way. So 6,000 years ago when God kicked us off, we're not where we were. You think about that.
The stars also...
Yeah, the stars are moving. The Milky Way galaxy is also rotating around. Everything is moving. That's crazy. That is crazy stuff. And the sizes and the distances and the speeds and things that are going on in there, we just got no idea. I don't even know how they figure this out, really. You know, these are just facts, and they've got telescopes and they think they know what they're talking about. But that's pretty crazy. And it's talking about these things here. You know, verse 5 is talking about the sun, like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices a strong man to run a race. You know, it's moving through space. Everything is moving. Things are happening. It's massive. It's phenomenal, you know. And God, that's God's creation, and it's displayed. We see God's eternal power and his Godhead, and it is sufficient to condemn people. God's creation is sufficient to condemn. But God gave his word, and this is what I want to talk about today, the sufficiency of Scripture. The Scriptures, the Word of God, is totally sufficient and capable to change and to convert a man. Totally change a person. It does. And let's look at here. Let's look at these verses here. Verse 7, 8, and 9. And there's a lot of things in here. There's six points here you could get out of here. The six titles of Scripture. There is six descriptions, and there's six benefits I've got it listed there. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So we've got the law, it's perfect, that's a description, and what it does is it converts the soul. Now, knowing the law isn't going to save you, we know that. We can't keep the law, but God's law is perfect. There wasn't a fault with the law, if you read through the Bible. The problem was with the people who never kept it. That's why God had to institute the new covenant. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, just think about the sufficiency of Scripture and how it can completely change a person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord. The Scriptures testify of the Lord. It tells us what he is. What's a testimony? You know, a testimony is you're telling what something is like. You're giving a report. It's a testimony, right? It's a witness account. It's a witness. The Scriptures say this about God, and it's sure. It doesn't change. It's solid. It doesn't move. And it makes us wise, because we didn't know before, did we? you know, Paul writes, I didn't know that these things were sin except the scriptures, except for the law told me it was sin. You know, the law and the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts, the statutes, the commands, the statutes of the Lord are right. They are right. And that rejoices the heart. It rejoices the heart. God's word gives us hope. It gives us life. You know, it completely changes a person. The commandment of the Lord is pure. There is nothing dirty about God's word. It is clean, it is pure, it is holy. God is righteous. It enlightens the eyes, it gives us wisdom. We see things clearly, doesn't it? You were in darkness and now you're in light. You were dead, you've been now made alive. And you see things clearly, don't you? When you read the Bible and you go, oh, I see things clearly. It gives us wisdom. It opens our eyes and we can see things clearly. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord. Worship. Fear of the Lord. How we worship the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments. I like this one. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You know, a lot of these things talk about judgment and righteousness and justice and things like that, and his testimony and all of these things. And I've talked about, you know, like God's judgments are true and righteous altogether. You can pervert justice and you can corrupt and you can buy. I mean, you know, Pastor, you've spent time in New Guinea, you know the corruption system over there. Like, if you've got money, and it's the same here, if you've got money, you'll get away with it. But you can't. By God. When you've been wronged and when you've been had and when you've been hurt, you know, God says it's mine to avenge, I will repay. That's a comforting thought, you know. You know, that's God is true and he's righteous and he's holy. And there's a lot in there. We're not going to go into there. I'm not even sure how long we're supposed to be preaching for. But God's word, we'll keep going on down into verse 10. Look at here. This is what God's word is. I like the end of here. It's almost like a little prayer, this last part. God's word must be our most treasured possession. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. It's also our sweetest pleasure. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It protects us. God's word protects us. It gives us wisdom, it gives us safety, it gives us warnings. It says, watch out for these, beware of that, don't go here, look out for this. And you can see it protecting you. It protects us, it provides for us, and in keeping them is great reward. Great reward. You know, our eternal rewards. You know, blessed in heavenly places with Christ, sitting in the heavenly places with Christ, glorified, justified, sanctified, all of these things, we've got them through because of the word of through the word of God. This is what God's word can do. It can completely save, it can completely change a person. God's word is capable of doing that. And we've seen it in people's lives and in people's testimonies, and we see the Lord working, and we've seen the Lord working in our own lives. And you get that through reading the scriptures, through studying it and knowing what it says and applying it, what it says. You know, not just knowing it, you know what the Bible says, and don't hear, what does it say? Hearers of the word, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need to apply what the word says and listen to it and follow it and obey it, and look what it leads to. And the end here, verse 12 down, says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. the sufficiency of Scripture. You know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have these things written down. Written down. God used these people to write the Scripture. He used Moses, he used David, he used the prophets, and all these people, and the apostles, and everything like this. And we have God's Word. We have it here in our hands, and it's life-changing. It really is. It's life-changing. You know, and that's just amazing what God can do. The sufficiency of Scripture, it is enough to save us. We don't need anything extra. We don't need any other books. We don't need any other visions. We don't need any other things. It's all here. It's all here in the Bible. It's all there, you know. And that's what God's given us. And that's what we've got. And that's all I've got for right now. Do you want me to close in prayer or...